One year ago, a close friend of mine from back in California was at this meeting with us. He was about my age, similar lifestyle, similar interests. We grew up together. November came, and I got a text that said, "You need to say a prayer for Ty. He's sick. They don't know what's wrong. He's in a coma, and it doesn't look good." Within about a month, he passed away. These things turn your lives upside down. What do you do? Eventually, you have to move on. Things go on, and usually the response is, "I gotta live like there's no tomorrow. I have to live my life today like it's my last day." But what does that mean? I heard that phrase and I started to question, how do you do that? How do I do that starting today? How do I live my life like there's no tomorrow? I want to look at a few things this morning that are talked about in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. They give us some practical things we can start with right now. They'll help us to live with no regrets today and continuing on through the future. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand." And he says, therefore, first thing he says to do, in light of the fact that the end is near, he says to be serious and watchful in your prayer life. He's going to go on to say in this letter to these people that they need to realize that the devil is walking about seeking them. And he just told us that the end of all things is at hand. And to me, there's a weight with that. I need something to do with that weight. I need somewhere to take that. Because that's a heavy burden to bear on your own. He says to be serious and watchful in your prayers. You go to God first. You realize that you need God for the strength that you need for this kind of task. We're given life. We're given a task. We don't have an option. He says be serious and watchful in your prayer life. We got a great lesson from Glenn the other night on prayer. And it's easy to let our prayer lives turn into a mundane a recitation sometimes. It's like walking through the lunch line, thank you for the food, and we go on about our day. He says, be serious and watchful in your prayer life. That kind of realization, this kind of mentality in life will help us live like there's no tomorrow. It might feel intimidating at first, but when you find the strength there, you're not going to regret it. The second thing he says to do, he says, in light of the fact that the end is near, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. As I understand, this word fervent used to be used to describe a horse running at full gallop, stretching and straining his muscles as he gave it his all. Do you love like that? In your love, do you give everything you've got for the people around you? You won't regret it. If you got envy in your life, if you got pride in your life that holds you back from that, don't let it. Live like there's no tomorrow today, and love like there's no tomorrow. He says, for love will cover a multitude of sins. In verse 9, thirdly, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. He says, in light of the fact that the end is near, take care of each other. You won't regret that. He says, take care of each other. That's not something that starts when you own a home and you can invite people over for dinner. That's a mentality that I'm going to take care of the people around me. I'm going to live for the people around me. Whatever point in our life, make everyone feel at home around you. Take care of the people who are around you. And finally, fourthly, he says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everything we have is from God. He says, use that for everyone around you. What if you're not here tomorrow? You've got energy today. You've got abilities today. You've got life in you today that you might not have tomorrow. He says, use it all for God. Physical things, use it all for other people. We've heard it so many times, you're not going to take anything with you. It's true. What if you had everything just left here one day? You should have used it. We should be using it today. Whatever you've got, whether it's abilities, whether it's stuff, use it for other people, because that's when it gains value. That's when you gain value. In light of the fact that the end is near, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Have fervent love for one another. Be hospitable. and use everything you've got for each other.
I would invite your attention to 2 Peter, the first chapter. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, starting at verse 12 and going to verse 15, we read this. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. When the Apostle Peter was writing to believers, he had two things that he was saying here. First of all, man is mortal. The Apostle Peter knew that he would not be around forever, but rather it was about time for him to die. He also knew something else about man, and that is that they are forgetful. He was writing that we might have a reminder of things. And I think as we are around the world, we often forget some things about Christianity. So I wanted to talk to you about some things to remember. First of all, remember that you have an influence. Let me ask you this morning, is your influence leading people to God, or is it dragging them away? Ask yourself how your children, your co-workers, and your church family will remember you upon your decease. Are they going to remember that you put the kingdom of God first in your life? Also, when I talk about influence, how are you letting others influence you? We have influence through our words and our actions. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Regardless of this, there are some Christians who want to act like the world. They want to dress like the world. Or they want to talk like the world, forgetting that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Rather, Jesus says that our influence should make men want to glorify God. This is found in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 13 through 16. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's not forget, let's remember that we all have an appointment with death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We don't know what our lives would carry for tomorrow. We could get sick, there could be an accident, there are people that will die of natural causes. The point is, we all have this appointment with death. We need to remember that we have to give an account for our lives on Judgment Day. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 12 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. This means that you are responsible for your actions. Your parents are not responsible, and your friends are not responsible. They're going to answer for their actions on this earth, and you will answer for yours. And God does not accept excuses. Finally, your choice of how you influence the world and this account that you give on Judgment Day is eternal. I think we fail to grasp that. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, it says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Earth is limited by three concepts, time, space, and matter. We can see this in the very first words of the scriptures, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, there's time. God created the heaven, there's space, and the earth, there's matter. God is not limited by these concepts because he created them. If he were limited by them, he's not God because he is mortal. But God is omnipotent and created time, space, and matter. And we fail to grasp and we forget that eternity is the same. Since time will cease to exist, heaven be our reward, or hell our punishment, is permanently timeless. And we need to remember that. Let me ask you, How are you influencing the world? Remember, you have an obligation to lead souls to Christ. Thank you.